Blog Talk Radio.
Dave, do we not have lead in music?
It's playing right now, David. You can go ahead and start. I'll edit it out.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Rebel Rise Live. Good to be back with you today. NFL Draft Day, I'm David Johnson, along with your co-host, Dave Bevin. And we've got a lot to talk about in today's Rebel Rise Live podcast. And we'll start off with the NFL Draft, where tonight in Chicago, as many as three Ole Miss Rebels could be selected by NFL teams in the opening round. I think, obviously, Laramie Tunsil, the first Ole Miss product expected to come off the board, hear his name called tonight, the big offensive tackle. Who is second? Will it be Laquon Treadwell, or will some NFL team roll the dice and take a chance on Robert Timbiji, a player that has been deemed a high-risk guy simply because of his off-the-field issues? We're going to find it out all tonight, beginning at 7 o'clock Central Time on ESPN with the first round of the NFL Draft. And, Dave, right now, everybody's just kind of guessing, and I guess that's part of the intrigue as to where these guys will end up, where they'll be picked, what teams they'll be going to. Will Robert Timbiji go in the first round? Will he drop to the second round? And a little bit of buzz out there about where Laquon Treadwell will go. A lot of speculation pre-draft has been centered on Treadwell perhaps going to the Detroit Lions, but now this revelation out there, Laquon Treadwell says he's never had any conversations with the Detroit Lions whatsoever. So that makes you wonder. I mean, is Detroit going to use their pick in the first round, which is number 16, on a guy they've never talked to, a guy they've never sat down and interviewed? Or is Detroit playing it coy, Dave? Are they sitting back going, you know, we'll act like we're not interested in this guy, and if nobody takes him before us, hey, we're going to jump in with the 16th pick. Could fall deeper in the draft. Minnesota picks the 23rd slot tonight. They have expressed a high interest in Laquon Treadwell. How do you see it shaking down, Dave? I think we can agree Laramie Tunsil is the first Ole Miss name we hear called tonight. Who's second?
You know, I really think if you look at what a lot of analysts are saying right now, I believe it really could be Robert Timbiji. There is a lot of talk right now that Robert Timbiji could drop somewhere in the middle of the pecking order of the first round picks, and a lot of buzz is circling around possibly that 19th overall pick by the Buffalo Bills, and you know there are still those analysts out there that believe the red flags, you know, the off the field issues, is a concern to push him, you know, further down, maybe later in the first round, or, you know, what you said, the second round. But I fully believe there is going to be a team out there that is going to take the risk. And, you know, his talent is, you know, just that all-around talent that you just don't get every single day. And you pointed out in a really good article, you know, yesterday, that he is just one can of green spray paint away from the, you know, Incredible Hulk. And, you know, he's got that physical feature and the tools on the field to just be an insane talent at the next level. And I believe there is going to be that team that, you know, takes that risk, you know, of I say risk, you know, and really wanting and needing that talent up in the defensive front. And I believe the Bills are, you know, I agree with, you know, what experts are saying, the Bills are that likely scenario. And you mentioned, you know, with Treadwell, the Vikings, that is the buzz that I've heard a lot. You know, what we have heard on our end is, you know, Laquon has been in communication a lot with the Vikings, and you know, wide receiver coach Grant Hurd, you know, has also been in contact with the Minnesota Vikings wide receiver coach. So you know, there is buzz going around with that. So I really see that as a possibility as well. And the Vikings, that would be the 23rd overall pick in the draft.
all standard protocol there. You know, the NFL, its investigative arm, each team has one. They're going to do their homework on these guys. They're going to talk to their coaches. They're going to talk to people that are close to them. And they try to figure out what's on the inside. With Robert Condici, they know what's on the exterior. It passes the test with flying colors. Now they're concerned about, how will Robert Condici, considering his track record while he was an Ole Miss Rebel, respond to being a professional football player when you're a grown man and all of a sudden you have millions of dollars at your disposal? Do you go buy the red Ferrari and run it into Lake Michigan? You know, that's the question. Or do you go in Robert's case, buy the panther, one of the world's most dangerous animals, as a pet, and he eats you or he eats your neighbor? You know, I think Robert Condici probably has handled himself pretty well, considering the base in which he was launching his NFL career from, falling out of that Atlanta hotel room window, getting kicked off the Ole Miss football team. And with the one exception of telling Sports Illustrated that with some of his draft money, he was going to go buy a panther. People just don't go buy panthers and live with panthers. Not cool. Not smart on Robert Condici's behalf. And he was being serious to tell the NFL, I'm going to go buy me a 160-pound cat that eats meat to keep in the house. So those are the issues that NFL GMs are wrestling with when it comes to whether or not to pick Robert Condici tonight. And you never know what is going to happen. I mean, one of the best football movies I've ever seen was Draft Day with Kevin Costner. And those kind of things, scenarios are happening tonight. You know, these NFL teams are competitive on the field against one another. They're competitive in the draft against one another. There are all kind of deals that are going to be going. And you don't know who's going to be picked. That's going to spur one thing to happen. There's a lot of butterfly effect tonight in this thing. So that's why we're all intrigued. That's why we'll all be glued to the television set tonight to see where these guys end up. And I'm kind of like you, Dave, and I'll say it right here, and I think we can be in unison on this. Do not be surprised if Robert Condici goes before Laquon Treadwell in tonight's draft. Do you do agree with that?
I do agree. Absolutely. I mean, you're looking at a guy before all these off-the-field issues happened. I mean, he was the projected early number one overall pick in the NFL, in this NFL draft. So, I mean, his talent on the field speaks for itself.
Yeah, you know, and you know, you ask a guy to be a beast on the football field, which Robert certainly has the ability to be. You know, there may be some quirks that have to come along with that off-the-field life that you've got to put up with. But Robert Condici, one thing I can tell you about Robert Condici, after covering him for 3 years, covering his recruitment, Robert Condici is highly intelligent. He gets this. He understands. It's not a situation where Robert doesn't understand what's at stake and what one detrimental act could do to his future. He gets it. Bit of a wild man? Absolutely. But he ain't no dummy. Robert Condici, highly intelligent. He understands where he's at with his football career. He understands he's in a zero-tolerance zone. And, you know, he's got a good example out there. Look at Johnny Manziel's career. It's just not – the nonsensical stuff is not put up with in the National Football League. Now, still, is some rich guy who owns a team going to roll the dice tonight and go, I'll put $15 million in him? Mm-hmm. And then be able to go to bed tonight hoping that, you know, he's not on the 18th floor of another hotel room somewhere and does a swan dive off the balcony, yada, yada, yada. So that's the issue right there. world-class explosion for a defensive tackle, particularly one that's going to line up in the 3-tech in the National Football League. As you mentioned, I mean, his physique is out of this world. If they did a remake of the movie The Incredible Hulk, he could play it without very much special effect. Other than the green, Kim Dichi looks like the Incredible Hulk. There's no one built better than him in this entire draft. You got a double team. He's going to tie up two offensive linemen every single time. Now, on the flip side of that, again, this is a man who wants to go to bed at night with a panther roaming his house. That's a little freaky. It's scary and outrageous. We mentioned the hotel room. Arrested for marijuana possession. Did he fall? Did he jump fleeing? Those questions really haven't been answered. But he let his Ole Miss teammates down. That's a big red flag for the NFL draft boys. He's admitted taking plays off during his career at Ole Miss. And he was already being hammered for not being very productive in terms of tackles. Some people think he has bad eyes, bad football eyes. Very often just zones in on the quarterback, easily fooled by misdirection. And then he admitted taking plays off at the NFL Combine. You know, you don't go into a job interview hoping to land the job and tell the guy interviewing you, you know, I probably am not going to work hard on Monday, Wednesday, and forget about Friday afternoons. You're probably not going to get that job. So that is another area of concern. But to me, you know, we'll all be watching tonight. Let's see who goes for Laramie Tunsil. Maybe the San Diego Chargers with the number 3 pick. We want to see where Laquon Treadwell ends up. Does he go in the teens? Does he go in the late first round? Does he perhaps fall to the second round? But the storyline tonight is, will someone pull the trigger on Robert Kimjiji in the first round? I emphatically say they will, and I'm going to tell you it's going to be higher than what most people are expecting because of all of the off-the-field woes we've discussed here. I just don't think any of that trumps what his abilities could be on the next level when you talk about his potential. If he keeps his head on his shoulder straight, if he comes to work every day and works hard, Robert Kimjiji could have a Hall of Fame career in the National Football League. If not for the off-the-field issues, despite the lack of production, I would say Kimjiji's probably projected to be a top-10 pick tonight. The off-the-field stuff matters, though. And, you know, Dave, I mean, these NFL execs talk all the time. They're probably going, you know, we had the same situation and the same conversations about a quarterback out of Texas A&M a couple of years ago who busted, who couldn't handle it. And the Cleveland Browns wasted a lot of money on him. That's going to be in the back of their minds, the back of those GM's minds tonight. They don't want to waste that owner's money, Dave.
You're right. And, you pointed out to something, very important earlier, talking with, Robert Kimjiji over these years while he's at Ole Miss. He's very intelligent. And, I believe, he has looked back at, and sees now that, his future of making it big is in the NFL. It's not as a saxophone musician. It is to play in the NFL. That's where his talent is best at. And you don't know, with him and his agents, you don't know the conversations that, have been behind closed door with those team executives and, with those sources now coming out reporting that, don't be surprised now if you see it. So apparently there has been conversations in those team meeting rooms, with NFL teams with Kimjiji, his agents. And, you know, to where they feel comfortable, you know, despite all the red flags.
Robert Kimchi only brought one suit to Chicago, the one he's wearing tonight. What does that mean? He's not planning on being there tomorrow for the second round. So we'll see how it works out. Ole Miss has never had in the modern era, and I'm dating back to 1994 here, when the NFL draft was reduced to 7 rounds. It's been that way now for 22 years. They've never had more than 2 players selected in the first round. It's happened twice. 2009, Michael Orr went to the Baltimore Ravens as the number 23 pick. Parade Jerry to the Atlanta Falcons right behind him at number 24. Interesting note on Orr. And, you know, they only invite a handful of guys up, maybe 20 guys for the NFL draft. Orr was the last guy in the 2009 draft who was invited to attend the draft that was there in person to be selected. That's got to be a sweaty palm moment right there when you're the last guy in the room invited up there. That could play out tonight for either Robert Kimchi or Laquan Treadwell. They might be the last guy in the room tonight to hear their name called. Something to keep an eye on. The only other year Ole Miss had two go in the first round, 1966, Stan Heinemann, the San Francisco 49ers, the number 11 overall selection, and then Mike Dennis, selected by Buffalo of the AFL. So Ole Miss with a chance to make a little school history tonight. Never has there been 3 Rebels selected in the first round of the modern era NFL draft. So we'll keep our eyes on that. Most players selected by Ole Miss, selected from Ole Miss, in the modern NFL draft in a single year, 4. It's happened 4 times, 1995, 2004, 2009, and 2010. Ole Miss with a chance, a really good chance of shattering that this year. As you know, the big three are all going. And then you've got Fan Cooper, you've got Cody Coral, Trey Elkin. All three of those guys, probable, not just possible, but probable draft picks. And then there's an outside shot. I'm still hearing that somebody in the latter rounds takes a shot on defensive tackle Woody Hamilton. So we'll see how that all works out, how many Rebels will be drafted. I think it will be more than 4 this year, so that'll set a new school record. Then you got guys who are going to get free agent invites, Mike Hilton, C.J. Johnson. Hadn't heard a lot about Justin Bale, Avery Morris, but don't be surprised if they don't end up in someone's camp for a few days, few weeks, something like that, to get a look-see. So that's what's going on. Now, remember, the first round only is tonight. We'll start at 7 o'clock Central Time. Second and third rounds held Friday and Saturday. The second and third actually on Friday night. Then rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7 on Saturday. So that's what we're looking at. Should be a whole lot of fun. Grab the popcorn, settle in, and welcome Laramie Tunsil, Robert Kimchi, Laquan Treadwell into the Millionaires Club, I guess. I couldn't imagine, Dave, how difficult it was for these three guys to go to sleep last night, knowing how big of a day they have in front of them today.
Oh, I could only imagine. You know, it is what all three of them, you know, had to, you know, growing up as children, you know, that this was their dream, was to be here, you know, at this level, and to move on as a, you know, an NFL player. And, you know, that's every, you know, football athlete's childhood dream, is to, you know, one day, soon to be that franchise player of an NFL team. And, you know, these three definitely had that possibility, and their dreams are coming true. You know, Laquan Treadwell, you know, he wrote a piece just a few days ago about his story growing up, and it was a very, very inspiring story, you know, that of him, you know, growing up in the suburbs of Chicago, and you know, his childhood dream was to play in the NFL, but he, you know, that they never watched it on TV. They didn't have the channels. So, you know, but, you know, being out there on that, in those backyard fields, and, you know, playing it, and then, you know, his talent developing over into high school to the collegiate level, proving himself there, and, you know, to the next level. And the same can be said for Tunsil and Kimchi. So it's very, you know, inspiring to see them you know, move on to that next level and have the possibility to succeed.
Well, we certainly wish them all well, all of the former players in the draft, not just the three tonight, and looking forward to seeing them advance their careers to the professional level. All right, let's shift over to recruiting a little bit right now, and we're going to kind of rewind to the 2016 class for a second here because Ole Miss may not quite be through with that 2016 class. Of course, we're referring to Holmes County Community College defensive lineman Josiah Cotney, who will announce his college decision a week from today, May 5th, is when Cotney says he will let the world know where he will be at school in really just a few weeks because he'll be on campus at the school of his choice at the end of May. He'll have 3 years of eligibility remaining. And here is the skinny on Cotney. Last week, of course, he puts out, for lack of a better term, his final four. He has Ole Miss and Alabama tied at one, then Florida, then Texas A&M. And I got that backwards. It was Texas A&M and then Florida. So Ole Miss and Bama is front runners, Texas A&M next, then the Florida Gators. And he took five officials, visited all of those schools, also visited South Carolina. He's a native of Douglasville, Georgia. Right now as we sit, what I'm hearing, what the vibe is that Josiah Cotney will be an Ole Miss Rebel. Take that with a whole pitcher full of caution. Okay, you got the whole junior college deal. We all know JUCO recruiting can get crazy, particularly down the stretch run. You just never know which side that pinball is going to end up on when you're talking about JUCO recruiting as a general rule. Then, with the disappointment that set in with Ole Miss fans on National Signing Day, when it appeared that a couple of big-time defensive linemen were in the boat, they hopped out of the net at the last minute. Night before, looked like they were squarely in your well. Then they hopped out. Of course, we're talking about Jeffrey Simmons from Noxubee County, Mississippi, whom Ole Miss might not be so upset that things worked out the way they did with him at this point, considering Jeffrey has run into some off-the-field issues. So you're going to have to take this with a big, big ounce of precaution. When we say right now we feel like Josiah Cotney is going to be an Ole Miss Rebel, because we all know anything can happen, and very often does. Now, there's a girlfriend situation. Someone was asking me about it under the thread on an article earlier this morning. Yes, there's a girlfriend situation. Yes. Josiah Cotney tweeted out last night that his girlfriend had been accepted at school at the University of Alabama. Proud of her, probably. That's probably why he tweeted it out. Listen, she had already been accepted into school at Ole Miss. Okay? So she's been accepted into both schools. So I wouldn't read too much into a tweet where Cotney is congratulating his girlfriend on being accepted in the University of Alabama. That's a great thing. That's awesome. But at the same time, I wouldn't read into that Cotney's headed to Alabama. Is crystal ball still 100% Ole Miss? Granted, Dave and I are the only two that have cast forecasts on it. But talking to my sources, yes, the same sources that were confident about Jeffrey Simmons, these sources are confident, cautiously confident about Josiah Cotney. So hopefully some good news for your Rebels on the recruiting front is right around the corner, even though it is relative to the 2016 class and not the 2017 class. Now, I get a lot of DMs and questions about this 2017 class, only three commitments in it. Yes, it's still early. I agree with those apologists who are saying, you know, hey, recruiting's going great. It's just early. Yes, it is early. But at the same time, we'd be sitting here blowing smoke in your ear if we were trying to tell you that this ongoing NCAA inquiry is not having an adverse effect on recruiting. It is. There's no other way around it. I mean, you don't even have to have insider knowledge to understand that. It is being used against you on the recruiting trail. Some schools use it cautiously, slickly maybe. Other schools are just very blatant about it. But, of course, it's being used against you on the recruiting trail. And when you sit back as an Ole Miss fan that follows everything going on at Ole Miss, and you're frustrated, and you're scratching your head, and you're wondering, where is the truth? Does it lie somewhere in the middle? Where is it exactly? Of course the recruits are wondering the same thing. So I'm not going to sit here and spin it for you any other way. It's having an adverse effect, and until it is resolved, it will continue to have an adverse effect on recruiting for this 2017 class. And again, you don't have to have somebody in your ear to know that. I mean, that's common sense. Common sense. It needs to be over and done with as soon as possible. And, of course, Ole Miss wants it over and done with as soon as possible. It's not them dragging their feet. There was an appeal filed for an extension by another party, whom we highly suspect to be former Ole Miss and Texas assistant Chris Long. And that has delayed Ole Miss's releasing its public response to the NCAA charges another 30 days. So now we are on or about May 22nd before we get a gander at that, unless something else happens between now and then. And how the process is set up, folks, I'm telling you, you're not going to get any finality on any of this until September, probably October, well into recruiting, well into the 2016 season. It sucks. It sucks. There's no other way of saying it. I mean, honestly, you're excited about the 2016 season, and rightfully so. This Ole Miss team could be better this year than they were last year. Chad Kelly with another year under his belt, more experience. But it's almost like you've got a huge party going on at your house, and it starts in a couple of hours, but there's a huge chunk of change in the toilet in the main bathroom, and it won't flush, and you're waiting on the plumber to get there. And if he doesn't get there before your party starts, it may just stink the whole place up. I mean, it's kind of what it's like right now. I'm trying to be graphic there, but Dave, that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, Ole Miss is the fans, even, you know, the administration, the staff, they're ready to put this thing behind them. And as you pointed out, you know, it's a third party that has, you know, postponed this with the extension. And, you know, looking at the timeline, we're looking at, you know, right up into the start of the season before we get any kind of possible finality out of this. And, you know, you don't want that burden going on into your season. I mean, you seen it last year, right before Ole Miss kicks off the 2015 season against UT Martin, you know, Laramie Tunsil goes on under a suspension. Well, at that time, no one knew how long or if Tunsil was ever going to come back, you know, onto the Ole Miss football team. So you had that burden going into each week of the season. And you just don't want those kinds of things, you know, looming into your season. So I agree that Ole Miss is just ready to put this behind them. And, you know, it's putting a delay there, you know, impacting, you know, the recruiting front, as in, you know, that there needs to be a resolution to this to where Ole Miss can, you know, sit there and say, hey, you know, they're the ones saying it. Everybody else is disagreeing with what they're saying, but Ole Miss is saying, you know, they're ready to release this so we can say, hey, this is what we got, and, you know, the future is not so problematic. And that I believe is, you know, what some recruits have in the back of their mind they're waiting for.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes I sit around and think about things, and you bring up Laramie Tunsil. And you know, I hope this doesn't play out like the Tunsil situation played out, where, you know, for about the first 3 or 4 weeks, everybody was figuring he was going to be back the very next week. After he missed about 4 games, everybody was like, you know, there's a lot more to this than what we were originally thinking. And then it ended up being 7 games, which back in August, just listening to everybody and talking to sources, there's no way anybody would have thought he would have missed 7 games when this first became an issue. We were told a couple, you know, by sources, maybe 4, then it was 5, and then it was just like, you know, to heck with this, let's quit guessing and just see how long this is going to last. It lasted 7 games. So you hope that narrative is not that the path of that narrative is not similar to the one as this investigation wraps up, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm certainly not suggesting it is. Just juxtapose the two, and you hope that's not that is not the case. But we'll know not soon enough, I would venture to say. But it will eventually all come out, and we can all break it apart and then wait for the NCAA to decide what they're going to do. And you take it from there. You pull yourself up by the bootstraps and you move forward. And there's no doubt that's what this program will do. Speaking about moving forward and moving up in the world, the Ole Miss baseball Rebels have a huge opportunity in front of them. Beginning tonight at Swayze Field, LSU in town, 8th-ranked LSU. Ole Miss ranked 9th in the nation, 3-game SEC series. And Dave, I mean, it's on a tee here for Ole Miss to assert themselves inside the SEC Western Division this weekend. LSU, on your turf, you've got a chance to win this series. A sweep would be wonderful for the Rebels, but let's be real. If they take 2 out of 3, you've got to be very excited about the results against LSU. That gets underway tonight, nationally televised game on the SEC Network. Ole Miss 31-11, 10-8 in the SEC. LSU 27-14, 10-8 in the SEC. And, Dave, it looks like Mike Bianco finally has his weekend rotation figured out, and it looks pretty good. He's going to, of course, throw Brady Bramlett out there tonight. Friday night, coming back with left-hander David Parkinson, 2-1, 1.70 ERA. And then on Sunday, the freshman phenom, the guy everybody's talking about, the reigning SEC freshman of the week, right-handed pitcher James MacArthur, going to take on the Bayou Bengals in the finale on Saturday. Remember, Thursday, Friday, Saturday series action gets underway at Swayze tonight. MacArthur on the year, 5-0, 2.84 earned run average, probably on his way to becoming a freshman All-American on top of his weekly SEC honors he just earned. But check this out. This is impressive now. In his last 7 outings, and he started 8 midweek games this year, but in his last 7 outings, the line on MacArthur, a 1.62 earned run average, 5-0 record, and he struck out 39 in 33.1 innings of work. James MacArthur, the freshman. So that's what you're going to throw out there Sunday in Game 3, if it's the rubber game of the series, or even if you're trying to salvage one or go for the sweep, it's James MacArthur. But tonight, Brady Bramlett going up against Jared Poche, 5-4, 3.26 ERA for LSU. So, it's on like Donkey Kong, as they say, at Swayze Field. I would expect, 9 to 10,000 there tonight. The crowds will get bigger Friday night and should be overflow capacity on Saturday, particularly if Ole Miss is playing for the sweep or for the series win. Dave, it's on the table. It's getting late in the SEC Western Division. Ole Miss right now, they've kind of fallen out of the host projections. This is a weekend for them to get back into the conversation strongly about hosting an NCAA region.
Yes, I mean, Ole Miss definitely has that opportunity. They're sitting right there, 10-8 in the SEC, tied with LSU, Mississippi State. There's definitely an opportunity there for them to rebound from some upsetting losses over the past few weeks. And if you go back and look at that Mississippi State game earlier in the week in Pearl, there is you know, that the bats, you know, that has been a concern of late, leaving, you know, having 9 hits in a game and not scoring a run. You know, there's definitely, I mean, that's just telling you right there, there is some opportunity there at the plate. So hopefully Ole Miss can find those corrections that they need to get, you know, the bats hot over the weekend against LSU. And as you mentioned, you know, Bianca looks to have, corrected his weekend rotation with James MacArthur and adding David Parkinson in there. So it's going to be interesting to watch, and it will be a tough stretch. I mean, it doesn't end with LSU because you then also have Kentucky, I believe Georgia upcoming, and then you end the season with Texas A&M. And I'm not sure if there's a team in the country right now who's hitting the ball better right now than Texas A&M. And so it will be an interesting finale to the season. I mean, they're still sitting up there high in the RPIs. If they can go through this stretch and at least grab, you know, 2 of the 3 games out of these upcoming series, then most definitely they definitely have that opportunity to host a regional. So lots to still be excited for with Ole Miss baseball right now.
Yeah, of course, they've got a lot of work to do to impress enough to host an NCAA regional. Part of the reason you bring up the Governor's Cup game, if the NCAA is going to put a regional in Starkville, barring any kind of collapse by Mississippi State, Southern Miss certainly looks like they're in line now to host a regional, particularly after a weekend Conference USA victory over Rice. So that's 2 regionals in the state of Mississippi. And then, you know, do you put a 3rd here with Ole Miss? Because right now they're the odd team out. They're going to have to do some impressing. That SEC record is going to have to be pretty stellar, because one of the things the NCAA is going to look at, and I don't care what it says on paper, they're going to look at head-to-head between Ole Miss and Mississippi State, and the fact they'd be putting regionals basically an hour and 15 minutes apart from one another. And, Mississippi State has now defeated Ole Miss 3 out of 4 meetings this year. And that's one of those midweek games, you know, quote unquote, that, Ole Miss fans have often accused the program of not putting enough emphasis on, that comes back and bites you in your butt come regional selection time. And, you could have evened things up there at 2 games apiece this season with Mississippi State, and you didn't. So now you've lost 3 of 4. And, yeah, that's going to be on somebody's scratch sheet on that committee when they're figuring out where to send these NCAA regionals. And that makes this weekend's SEC series with LSU all the more important. You need to build that resume. Yes, they do have a great RPI. To keep it there, they're going to have to win. And that's basically the bottom line. 6 o'clock, first pitch tonight at Swayze Field. People are going to be breaking thumbs tonight, working the remote control, going between ESPN and the SEC Network, watching the Rebels play LSU and watching the NFL draft. Those of you who can't make it out to Swayze, but I guarantee you there'll be 9,500, almost 10,000 of you out there tonight on a Thursday night to watch this game. It's LSU. Everybody wants to watch that, right?
Absolutely. One of your biggest rivals, you got to be there.
There you have it. Straight from Dave Bevin. Well, that's going to do it for us on this edition of the Rebel Rise Live. As always, we thank you so much for giving us a part of your day to listen to us talk about Ole Miss athletics. And a lot to talk about today. Again, the NFL draft tonight, Ole Miss LSU getting underway, Josiah Coatney a week away from him making his college announcement. Lots of things are happening on this Thursday, April the 28th. Again, thank you for listening to us. So, for Dave Bevin, I'm David Johnson for 247 Sports. And as always, hotty toddy.